This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. We'll get back to our series of interviews with school administrators on Monday with the school year wrapping up, but wanted to check in with State Representative Court Boyce, representing the 1st District, Coos, Curry, and part of Douglas County's. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you for having me on. Good day.
So let's right at the front end here, you heard the forecast. We also have our fire danger level here in the Douglas District going up tomorrow for DFPA and BLM lands, and I've got all the weather warnings, et cetera. What are your concerns? It's not even, we're a week away from the start of summer. This is pretty unusual weather.
You know, it's got us all on our toes, and I think that's good. We can hope for the best, and certainly, Kyle, you know, prepare for the worst. Really proud of the Douglas Forest Protective, that entire staff there. Also, Coos Curry Forest Protective. They've done really well, surprisingly, well, maybe not surprisingly, but uncharacteristic of recruiting additional firefighters. They're getting them trained, so we just have the best of the 13 Western states, and just great fire crews. So when I was commissioner in Curry County, you know, clear back in 2016, whatever, and we had those two huge fires at Chico Bar and the Klondike, you know, those two fires combined cost $160 million 2 consecutive years to fight. And, you know, we lost almost 320,000 combined acres in 18 months. So it's been my biggest issue. In fact, I'm flying back to D.C. a week from Monday, and I'm going to meet with the Forest Service and just natural resource people to say, hey, you know, don't forget the fire season we have and how dry it is, drought conditions in Oregon, and we need your help to commit to, you know, long-term you know, awareness, prevention, and of course, response. And so I'm glad you brought that up. And I know your listeners are likewise on their toes. And you were just given a forecast there. Wow, how people forget Oregon is a special area, and geographically, it dries out so fast, and everything grows so fast.
From the legislative level and the state side, do you feel like the firefighting agencies have got adequate funds from the legislature this year?
You know, it's on the verge of not being adequate or not being, you know, we just don't want our firefighters, Kyle, looking over their shoulders. I mean, these are highly professional, career-oriented people. And we're lucky to have them. And so Oregon needs to get their priorities in order. The fires are not just going into the landscape of the back roads, the back country. They're encroaching on more and more on the suburbs. And so you remember what happened in Glide, of course, in 2022. I mean, we lost 110 homes. I mean, we cannot forget that. I think it's a priority on both with the governor and both sides. I do have to say the governor's got some really good people in the fire response program, and I'm grateful for that. And the Forest Service has come a long way too. I was pretty much enemies with them in 2017 and 18, and they really are doing much better, and we want to keep them again on their toes. That's why I'm going to D.C.
And, of course, for your region in particular, that fire about 10 years ago, that was pretty ominous. I remember we talked about that when things were going on there, a lot of loss of trees and lots of things and some very serious concerns when that was going on.
Kyle, I appreciate your interest and experience in history. You know, I have the most diverse geographic district in Oregon, with the coast and the, you know, timber capital of the world. a lot of farming, of course, fishing. And, yeah, those fires took a tremendous toll. Also, when I'm in D.C., I forgot to mention there, I'm working, you know, a lot of people's first response might be, what is he thinking? But I want to look at the feasibility of a national park. I want to do away with the wilderness area, the Calmeopsis, because we just keep burning it up. You know, we're the Wild Rivers coast, the most pristine rivers, most rugged country, biggest trees in Northern America. And we need to open up the roads, increase timber harvest, quit burning things up, protect the rare plant species, and develop recreation. And again, protect the watershed for the Chetco and the Illinois and the Sixes, the Elk, the Smith River in Northern California. And I think I've got some good people that are going to help me with that. And we just have to sell to the public that this is better for, you know, enjoyment of the public and, you know, resource protection and resource extraction. More timber harvest, certainly.
Now, let's talk about some other things. We haven't talked, I don't think, since the May primary. What was your reaction to some of the things that happened then?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I got in early for Christine Drazen. I thought the world of all four or five Republican candidates. We need a change. It's that simple. We need business-oriented leaders. And I endorsed Drazen very early on. I knew she would win the primary. I was very confident, Kyle. And now we got to get behind her. We want our side. You know, Virgil Osborne and Alex Carlatos, certainly, you know, Senator David Brock Smith, you know, he pulled a surprise there, and he wouldn't have surprised me because he's an incredibly effective legislator. I give him a bad time and say he's borderline genius on how he gets work done being in the minority and then later the super minority. But we deserve a chance to govern. We're asking for 2 years on the GOP side to simply say, what have you got to lose? We will hold ourselves accountable. We will be straight and honest with the citizens. People are tired of hearing, I'm sure, get out the vote. But there's independent voters that are independent for a reason. They don't like either party. But which party best represents their interests, or their businesses, their families, you know, their communities? So our philosophy and political views have been out of power for 40 years. I used to take Governor Atiyah River quarterback in the 80s on the Rogue, and, you know, he was a statesman. He would do anything to get work done, and we need to return to that. And again, Kyle, I think that we have a legitimate lobbying effort with the electorate that says, hey, let them govern for just a little while and see if you don't see significant change and bring Oregon back to common sense.
Now, what's it going to take to get ready for it this time of year? We're almost into summer, and political things kind of take a backseat till about September in terms of people's interest level. What is or should be going on to get the GOP ready for the governor's race, for David Brock Smith's race, and for all the legislative races as well?
Well, hard work and uniting people that know that Oregon's in trouble. Businesses are leaving in droves. Unemployment is up. Investment is way down. Our schools are not doing well. Our hospitals are struggling. You know, we have the best rural hospitals in Oregon, and the president recently allocated $194 billion for rural hospitals across America. And, you know, that's going to be almost $200 million for Oregon. So we're on our toes there, Kyle, lobbying for, you know, I've got Mercy's not in my district, but it's very important to Douglas, Coos, and Curry counties, of course. There's a lot of highly professional employees there that care about what happens and, you know, love Douglas County. And then Southern Coos in Bandon, the Curry General in Gold Beach, Reeseport Hospital, Alden, you know, they're just critical, and not to overlook Coquille Valley. So we want to do everything we can to support those hospitals, the people that work there, and the excellent care that they provide.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. State Representative Court Boyce interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. The back to school, well, not back to school, the end of school series. There we go. Talking to school administrators resumes on Monday in Inside Douglas County. You've got at least 4 more interviews lined up with the school year. We're wrapping up, or basically wrapped up for a lot of areas here. State Representative Court Boyce on with us today, covering a number of topics, backing up to one more aspect of the election. That was the transportation measure that was on the ballot. Boy, a big defeat there. What were your thoughts?
You know, we worked really hard to keep that on the general election so that, you know, our, as loyal opposition, the folks that we challenge, we wanted that on the general election so that people would come out and vote in greater numbers, which would increase our chances of gaining a few seats in the House and the Senate, plus a GOP candidate, you know, win at the governor level. So, it's way back a year ago, more than a year ago, Kyle, we come up with a $720 million savings that just with common sense and wouldn't have laid off one ODOT employee. And, you know, in my district, a lot of the ODOT people are my friends. They do have a great job. But like the firefighters, if Oregon doesn't get their spending in order and their priorities in proper perspective, then we'll lose those to other states, those employees. And we can't afford to let that happen. Every time you train somebody, that's thousands of dollars to the taxpayers. So I think we're going to prevail on ODOT. We are having legislative days coming up next week. My 3 committees are, which I'm very thankful for and critically important to my district. Number 1 is water, ag, land use, natural resources. Number 2, veterans emergency management. So, that, of course, that's a fire. And then housing and homeless. So I'm on 3 very intense committees. Tuesday, I'll be testifying before the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife on our salmon and trout enhancement program, our step boxes, our hatcheries. You know, ODFW is trying to change the culture, and they're doing a good job. The new director, thank goodness, there goes a logging truck. I just want to extend gratitude for the work they're doing. We got $20 million for hatcheries for 3 Warrenton, Bandon, and Elk River. So 2 of those are in mine and Senator Brocksmith's district, and that's going to be spent over 10 years, and we're just thrilled about that, and it's critically important.
Now, as you look ahead to the next session of the legislature, is there a particular legislation or at least topics for that you're looking at right now?
Well, this will be my 5th session, and, you know, that we have, thank goodness, we have unlimited bills. And I used to say, why do so many? And there again, Brock Smith's philosophy is, well, and we're in the minority party. If you get any of them to stick, you know, you're best serving the citizens. And so that's rang true with me, and I've kind of caught on to that. And so, boy, I've got a lot of bills lined up for veterans. Water-oriented bills, public safety, certainly law enforcement. When Senator Bearsugar left, I've got my 3 sons as a captain in OSP, and there again, you know, they need to be recruited. They need to be the best trained, and that takes money. And again, it's, Kyle, as you well know, a priority in spending. And so we had the same number of state police we had 50 years ago, and the population in Oregon has doubled. There's just a lot of pressure on them, and so it makes it tougher for recruiting, and it shouldn't be that way.
And one of the aspects of that as well, it seems like there's a lot of areas without 24/7 patrols, which especially some of the big rural areas in Oregon creates a lot of issue and puts a lot of pressure on the county sheriff's office and other agencies.
You know, I have 3 of the best sheriffs anywhere, and likewise grateful for that. And to see the challenges that they have in constant, you know, people vote down increased taxes. And you can understand why, but the law enforcement locally needs to be supported at a higher level. And that doesn't mean we need to tax more, but it does mean the state needs to recognize when you send $300 million for the Moda Center, the Portland Trailblazers. That was an unnecessary gift. I mean, I see both sides of that, of course. That was one of the few votes I missed, but I would have voted against it. It's something the Oregon just simply cannot afford. And so with crime always rising, and then that puts people in the sometimes the uncomfortable, untrained position of carrying firearms because the police in rural areas can't get there quick enough. And if they do, it's usually just to take a report. So it's a no-win deal that we can correct. And again, that gets back to the Republicans getting a chance to be in the position of governing so that we can correct and reverse some of these crazy policies.
Now, what do you think for the GOP? Do you see many gains possible in legislative seats in November?
No, if we gain two, that would be gigantic. Of course, it would put us back in just the minority in the House side. I think we really have a legitimate shot at gaining three seats in the Senate. So that would put us at 15 and 17 on the Democratic side. I mean, I want to be realistic, but it's really, as you also know, it really depends on who gets the vote out. And is the vote legal? Is it properly vetted? You know, I also have very good county clerks in Douglas, Coos, and Curry counties. And, you know, Tobias Reed gets a little bit of, because he's a Democrat, he gets a little bit of grief. But I've followed him, Kyle, and I think he's tried really hard to run an honest program. And so we're going to hold his feet to the fire on that and give him a chance. And, you know, I would encourage you to have him on sometime. But, you know, who's going to get the vote out? That improves our odds of governing Oregon and really correcting some serious problems we have here so people quit moving away.
What about during the summer? What kind of legislative things are you doing?
You know, I'm really happy. A week ago Sunday, I went to Seattle, my own expense. Oh, by the way, when I go to D.C., that's not, taxpayers are not funding that. I've got help on my campaign, people that believe in why I'm going there. Anyway, a week ago Sunday, I, along with Jim Walls, he is going to be the Washington State governor candidate in 2028. He and I are the keynote speakers at the Tiananmen Square 37th annual highlight on the massacre where thousands were murdered. And, you know, it's just why we don't agree that socialism, communism, same thing, is good for our children's future. And so I was able to speak, tremendous honor. And so for, you know, we have our three fairs coming up, but Douglas County is one of the absolute best larger fairs in Oregon. I'll have a booth there. Virgil will have a booth. The GOP will have a booth. Not sure about Alex. That's the first week in August, and then Coos and Curry County fairs are the same time. So I'll be doing parades, handing out little 4x6 flags to the kids. I'm going to become a great grandpa in mid-August, so I'll be in Seattle again just for a day there. They've already scheduled the birth, so I'm just as happy and proud as I can be on that. So, yeah, otherwise I'll be, as I mentioned, there'll be a lot more to report to you after this 3 days next week.
So as you look back on your time in the legislature, we got about a minute left with Court Boyce. What are some of the things you're proudest of in the past few years?
You know, I'm chair of the Oregon Coastal Caucus now, and that's seven legislators, and that's been a great learning experience. You know, it's 22 incorporated cities, it's seven counties, it's 26 ports. And so that's a real honor. You know, I spoke at the pro-life, keynote speaker a week ago, Saturday. You know, mostly the majority of, citizens that I represent in the three counties, they want just reasonable restrictions on abortion. So that's what I represent. I mean, that's a social issue, but it's important. And sometimes I don't have time to analyze what makes me proudest, but it's a good question. And I just feel really fortunate to be able to represent 75,000 people and And, you know, their trust is critical to me, and I'm working very hard to earn that and keep it.
All right. Out of time for today. We'll check in again soon. State Representative Court Boyce from the 1st District, thanks for being on this afternoon.
All the best, Kyle. Thanks again.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.